This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk, and I'm here in studio with Charlie Deist. He is a volunteer for the San Francisco Saline Science Center. Charlie, tell us a little bit about what fascinates you about saline and science and why you volunteer.
Well, first it was the sailing. The science was the area that I felt like I had the most room for improvement. I'm a media guy myself. I've been producing radio and podcasts for several years. So when I met Jim, I saw two opportunities. One was to use some of my skills in that department, but also to bolster some of my own knowledge and resources around the science of this activity that I've come to really love as my primary hobby and also an avocation.
Jim, you're referring to is James Hancock, who's the founder of the San Francisco Saline Science Center. Tell me a little bit about your own sailing experience. I know you have a couple of boats. You're out there on the water a lot. You teach, you sail, you just really enjoy the water. What is it about the nature and the physics of nature that really fascinates you the most when you're in the sailor role?
Well, I was a beginner not too long ago. About 10 years ago, in my early 20s, I started sailing. And as most beginners to the sport of sailing, I had my fair share of missteps, and I was humbled by San Francisco Bay more than a few times. But eventually, with practice and just taking every opportunity that I could to get out on my own boats, on other people's boats, I started to get my bearings. And you get this sort of intuitive sense of how the waves and the wind interact. But having a scientific understanding of it, I think just kind of takes it to the next level. The day that I first met Jim and learned about the Sailing Science Center, I had sailed over from Berkeley on my Columbia 24 to the St. Francis Yacht Club, which hosts their Wednesday yachting luncheons. I think that was a typical summer day in San Francisco, so winds blowing 20 knots or so. Fortunately, I think that it was flooding at the time. When the westerly winds clash with the ebb tide, it can lead to a pretty nasty surf there. But it was a good day for sailing, and it turned out to be a good day for my own kind of personal development.
Well, and for those who know anything about the moon and tides, we have a flood and an ebb twice a day. Floods coming through the Golden Gate right there in St. Francis Yacht Club.
It's kind of a funny balance because the flood, on the one hand, it creates better conditions when combined with the westerly winds. Although if you're trying to get from Berkeley heading east toward against the flood, basically, it slows you down. So there's all these trade-offs. And learning to sort of sync up with the tides and currents, I think, has also been almost a spiritual thing for me. It's a way to connect to nature on a level that most people just aren't used to thinking about.
I really appreciate you coming and sharing your story with us, and hope to have you back, Charlie. Thank you so much. This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk.
All right, thank you for that, Chris Cross. Welcome back to the show. It is Tuesday at 9:40. That is the customary time that we check in with our friends over at SalesportsTalk.com. And as always, to co-host this segment with me, we have Karen Lyle. How are you doing, Karen?
I'm doing great, Rick. And how are you doing?
Not too bad. Let's bring on our guest. We have Sandy Poole with us. And first of all, great name, Sandy.
I know. I think it's a strike of the hat or mark of the draw.
Love the name. Let's talk about how you got involved with North Sails Gulf Coast and Merlin Yacht Racing as a shore support and all that entails, that kind of stuff, please.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. So I've been working with kids for over a decade now, and so I was actually their nanny. They had just had their first little one. She was 3 months old at the time, and they just needed some extra help. You know, mom and dad were going back to work. And so, yeah, I became her full-time nanny, and they were actually already on their way to being, I mean, they were professional sailors. So, that evolved to, watching the little one during beer can races. And then as she got older, she started going to school. So naturally, I started still working within the family, and then taking up more roles and responsibility through the business side. So that's when I started working for Brian Malone at North Coast, North Sails Gulf Coast. And then in 2018, he actually became the program manager for Merlin Yacht Racing, which is the Billy Custom 68. So it kind of just organically came from there.
So, Sandy, what was the experience that really turned you on to sailing? Because you didn't grow up sailing, but you had an experience that really popped that as something you wanted to do in your life.
Yeah, so during, they were really active at their yacht club, Davis Island Yacht Club in Tampa, and they were having an all-female crew race. I remember it was the Dory Drake. So it was the Dory Drake, October 2018. It was my first ever race, and I had no idea what I was doing, you know, and it was high pressure. And I loved it. I just flourished. I mean, it was scary at one point, but it was just something that I really got excited about. And so ever since then, after that, I started going on to the weekly beer cans. You know, they basically had to find a babysitter for their nanny. So I went with them, and then they just stuck me at the back of the boat on runners, you know, kind of a way to see everything from the back of the boat, listen to what everyone was saying. I got to, you know, listen to the skipper and the tactician, really work together. So that was kind of the start of it, and it just grew from there.
What would you say that the one misnomer that people get when you started, because I think a lot of us think of sailing as very elitist and you can only get involved if you're, you know, Larry Ellison and you have your own yacht. And so what about some of the other misconceptions?
Yeah, I mean, I just basically walked on. And if you just have a good spirit, like people want to be around you and you're hardworking, what Brian always told me was the worst thing you can ever see in a boat is I know, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have that willingness to learn and be teachable and be coachable, I think you'll always get a spot on the boat. I think that's my mission, is to really show how accessible sailing can be. You know, you walk the dock with a six pack and ask who needs crew, and you know, someone's always willing to take you on. I think people find yacht racing or just boating or sailing intimidating, but once they break into the community, it's very generous and everyone's very nice. I think, you know, that space of like, oh, how do I walk into a yacht club and feel like this is a space that will welcome me? I think that's the biggest barrier that we have in sailing right now.
You just recently sailed on the Transpac with Captain Marie Rogers on Good Trouble. What were some experiences that you had on that race that prompted you to want to go for the Ocean Global race?
Right. So I've only been sailing for 5 years. So Dory Drake 2018 was my first race. And I never really thought that I would sail in Transpac, and especially not this soon to starting. Transpac was actually my first offshore race. I had only done coastal and buoy races before that. So, you know, you hear the stories that everyone's just like, you know, Transpac's so amazing. It's going to change your life. It's like a once-in-a-lifetime race, and you just got to go for it. You just got to do it. And I had no idea how I would handle offshore life. But honestly, we were on the water for about 11 days. And for me mentally, it was just like the Truman Show. It was like starting this same day over and over. And, you know, I think this year was atypical because we were in, you know, it was cold for like 8 days. Usually you get through the trade a lot sooner. So it was always like, oh, tomorrow, you know, it was freezing cold. You know, I remember just sitting in the fetal position in the cockpit, you know, at like 2 a.m., just being like, this is miserable. You know, I think half the race, you know, you spend it kicking yourself in the arse, like wondering, what did I sign up for? Like, this is absolutely crazy. And then the next day, like, the sun just comes out, the water turns this beautiful blue, and there's no one around you, and it's just peaceful. And then you get into the Molokai Channel, and, you know, the surf comes, you know, behind you, and then the swell just builds. You know, you go from beating to chopping to this downwind surf, and you're like, oh, I see. This is what everyone's talking about. You know, it's blowing 25, 30, and you're just surfing these huge waves with, like, your A2 up, and you're going, like, 20, 25 knots. So I think watching that was, and then having, you know, everybody getting so excited, but, you know, especially as we could see Molokai, the shore, that was a feeling that I'll never forget.
Have you ever had any moments of sheer peril on the water yet?
Oh, yeah. So there was one time we did round up, and it, you know, of course, it was like that witching hour. It was like 1 or 2 a.m., pitch black. You know, we had very moonless nights on this year's Transpac. And I was downstairs. I was off watch. And I just remember water coming in through the windows. And, like, I was just like, what is going on? And usually you kind of get acclimated to, like, bumps and a little water here and there. And, like, you hear something heavy drop, and you're like, oh, okay, like, it works itself out. But this went on for an extended period of time, and you're just, like, on the edge, you know, of your bunk, and you're like, should I go up? Like, should I put on my life jacket? Like, what's going on? And I ended up, like, crawling out of my, you know, out of my sleeping bag, out of my lee cloth bunk, going up, and our mass is just dragging in the water. And I look up at the driver, and it looks like it's lightning out, but it's not lightning. It's actually the mass being dragged through the bioluminescence in the water.
Wow.
And so it's just like this, you know, it's just eerie. It's like dark, and it looks like it's light is flashing, and it's like raining, and like everyone's just like in the cockpit, like holding on for dear life, and you're just like, what is going on? So, you know, we had to like wake up the navigator, also the co-captain. And the hardest part is about a roundup is that everybody just wants to hold it, but you actually have to let the helm go and let it right itself and then jerk it back over. And I think that was a learning point for everybody. But yeah, that was our biggest, like, oh crap moment of the race. And like, it's like the navigator woke up, came to the helm, and like we were righted, you know, within 5 minutes, and it was just like, oh, all right. So we just keep sailing, you know? So that was the interesting moment.
What is your next step?
So right now I'm in conversation with doing the Ocean Globe race. I actually was just accepted into the Magenta Project mentorship program as a mentee for the offshore pathway. And already, I think the first message in our group was like, hey, there's a spot open in leg two for the Ocean Globe race. Like, who wants to do it? And so I immediately jumped in, and we've been in conversation, like, about cost and, like, medical and certifications. And so I just found out that actually they had a reservist on deck, and they can actually do it. So I'll become an official reservist for leg three and four.
And then finally, we've had Captain Marie Rogers on the show many times. What's it like to sail with someone so experienced?
You know, the great thing about Marie was she was just so chill. And I was just like, Marie, you know, I'm freaking out. Like, she's like, you know, I see two squalls building up. And she's like, oh, like, there's a squall over here, there's a squall over here. Like, just, you know, thread the needle and just drive through it. And at this point, I had never really sailed, you know, in big breeze, especially with the large vessel. We were on a 56. And she's like, oh, I was like, Marie, like, can you please take the helm? Like, I'm really nervous right now. She's like, she, you know, she's just sitting right by me drinking her, you know, her hot chocolate. She's like, no, you got this. And so just her demeanor and confidence in herself, but also in the crew that she put together. I think she knew that I could do it, and she really was a great mentor where she pushed me out of my comfort zone.
Very cool. From Sandy Poole, thank you so much for your time and coming on Sports Byline and SalesportTalk.com.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
And Karen, good checking in with you. We'll do it again next week. How about that?
That sounds like a plan on Tuesday.